line, Willie D. Mace, 1025, 1063, The Game, and The Game Nashville app. We are streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook Sports. We are live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios. And hey, Preds fans, you can tune into Smashville live tonight at 6 p.m. from Bridgestone Arena for the Nash Vegas event. The Nash Vegas event is a ticketed event. For more information, visit NashvillePredators.com. Smashville live is brought to you by Spring Hill Heating, Cooling, and Electrical, Little Harpeth Beer, and Superbook Sports. So I think with Mike Vrabel, more often than not, we gotta speak a little bit of Vrabelese. We gotta dig into his words. Sometimes he can give you an inch and you can take a mile. And you gotta be strategic with it. But Mike Vrabel spoke with the media yesterday after the announcement that Tim Kelly was going to be elevated from passing game coordinator to offensive coordinator. And he was asked how Ryan Tannehill kind of fits into that conversation. This was Mike Vrabel yesterday.
What does today's news mean for Ryan?
Well, I don't think anything. I mean, I talked to Ryan. I let him know what you know, which direction that we were headed. He's I don't want to speak for him. He seemed excited. You know, about what we were going to do and about who we were doing it with. But again, Rand and I are evaluating the entire, roster, you know, the players that are under contract, the players that are going to be potential free agents here pretty soon. So, you know, Ryan's in here every day. And he's, you know, excited about where things are headed. So, you know, other than that, I don't know what to tell you other than being able to say, you know, we've got to get ready here to add a lot of pieces and find ways to do that.
Okay, so I have two takeaways from that. First, is that Vrabel telling us without telling us that Ryan Tannehill is the starting quarterback in 2023? Like, would you fill in Ryan Tannehill on the offensive coordinator position, on what the plan is, if Ryan Tannehill wasn't in that plan? Would you tell everybody, hey, Ryan's been in the building every day, Ryan's been working hard, if you didn't endorse him to be your quarterback for next season? So is Mike Vrabel telling us without telling us who the quarterback is in 2023?
I don't know.
Because he also didn't say it.
Yeah.
Because he could say
exactly.
It.
He could just say, listen, Ryan's our quarterback for next year, for next season, for the season coming up, and you know, he's getting a jump start on everything and he likes to hire and, you know, we're about to get it going and we're going to hit the ground running with Ryan and add some more pieces to this puzzle and, and try to make this team better. He didn't say that, nor did he say he wasn't the quarterback. So, you know, I think he's in you as well as TD alluded to it in last segment before last. He's very calculated.
He doesn't drop hints if he doesn't want to.
He's very calculated in what he says. You know, he goes back to, and I remember this was told to me, it had to be after my like fourth or fifth year, when I really started to have to go in front of the camera and talk with people. That, listen, you, when the question is asked of you, you take your time to answer it. You are the person they want to hear they want to get the answer from, not anybody else. So you don't have to rush into what you need to say. Think about it, process it, and then answer the question. You know, they're on your time. You ain't on their time. They came to you. You didn't go to them. Vrabel is sort of the same way in the sense of, y'all came to me to ask these questions. I didn't fish y'all out and say, hey, listen, this is what I want to tell you about what Ryan's doing or the new offensive coordinator. No, y'all came to me. I made the hire. Y'all want to ask some questions? Come on, bring it. But I'm going to answer them the way I want to, and I'm going to be very precise in what I say. I'm going to think about what I say. That's why his interviews are always the same. They're not rushed. He takes his time. Now, he may get a little edgy every now and then with certain individuals, and we know who those individuals are. But typically, he likes to take his time. And he understands they still are in the process of evaluating this roster. So other than probably Derrick Henry, and because Rand Carthon pretty much said that. Listen, Derrick is on this team. Other than Derrick Henry and probably Jeffrey Simmons and I would say Treylon Burks, everybody else, it's like we're evaluating everybody else as good as, you know, Kevin Byard is. I think he's another one that is, his job is pretty much secure. But everybody else is like, we're evaluating this roster. That's why I don't, that's why I believe he don't want to really go on record and say, that's our quarterback, because he's had several opportunities to do it.
That's an interesting point, because I think there's a lot of different approaches with the media on that question. We know how much time we spend on this show just talking about the crazy possibilities of the quarterback carousel every time this year, right? Mm-hmm. It's part of February. We're waiting for the Super Bowl. We had no football last weekend. What are we going to talk about? We got quarterbacks, and when are they going to go? It's exciting, right? Who your quarterback is everything. So Mike Vrabel knows that. If a coach would like to squash a rumor, if he wants to stop the noise about who the quarterback is going to be, all he's got to do is say it.
Yeah.
If they know that Ryan Tannehill is their quarterback, he could come out and say it. Now, maybe he doesn't want people to know. Maybe he wants Ryan Tannehill to have to feel like he's got to keep fighting for it. I don't know. There's a lot of different tactics a guy could use, or a guy could rationalize. But, for example, Aaron Rodgers, right? Or Tom, if Tom Brady had not said, I'm retired, that kind of took Brady out of there. But remember all the stuff last year. There was all kinds of that stuff. He could have just come out one day and at a press conference like that and said, Ryan Tannehill is going to be the quarterback. I don't, you know, all this stuff is out there. Ryan Tannehill is going to be the quarterback. And that would end it, right? But most coaches don't do that for whatever reason.
And you would say, well, what – would Mike Vrabel benefit by, you know, putting his foot down and saying Ryan Tannehill is our quarterback moving forward? Well, would
he could stop the line of questioning for one, right?
Exactly. And I can tell. I know Mike Vrabel is probably sick and tired of getting that question. But when we were talking about Aaron Rodgers potentially to the Titans, Tom Brady potentially to the Titans, that was fun. Those days were fun. you know, trading up for the first round, for the first overall pick for a quarterback, we got so many texts in the text line of people saying, well, how do you think Ryan Tannehill feels about all this discussion? How do you think about Ryan Tannehill feels about the Titans potentially trading up for the first overall pick? How do you feel? How do you think Ryan Tannehill feels about the Titans potentially being interested in Aaron Rodgers? If I'm Ryan Tannehill, I probably don't feel very good about it. So that's why you come out and say, Ryan Tannehill is our quarterback, if he is your quarterback. So he feels your loyalty. So you can stop the line of questioning. So you get everything out of the way. Okay, are we clear? Tannehill's our quarterback. But he's not doing that. He's leaving the door open, but also still making sure everybody knows that Ryan Tannehill is in on the conversations, is in the building every day. So it's almost like you got one foot in and one foot out. And if I'm correct me if I'm wrong, I think the Titans are the only team in the NFL that has not come out and said, we are moving on from our quarterback or we are sticking with our quarterback. It is a constant leaving the door open, yet also leaving hope that the quarterback, that Ryan Tannehill is still the quarterback of the future. I just think it's very strange line of questioning, but I want to get back into this coming up next. And I see your phones as well. We'll get to those as well. 615-737-1025. Caroline Willie D. Mays, 1025-106 through the game.
What does today's news mean for Ryan?
Well, I don't think anything. I mean, I talked to Ryan. I let him know what you know, which direction that we were headed. He's I don't want to speak for him. He seemed excited. You know, about what we were going to do and about who we were doing it with. But again, Rand and I are evaluating the entire roster, you know, the players that are under contract, the players that are going to be potential free agents here pretty soon. So, you know, Ryan's in here every day and he's, you know, excited about where things are headed. So, you know, other than that, I don't know what to tell you other than being able to say, you know, we've got to get ready here to add a lot of pieces and find ways to do that.
There you go. That was Mike Vrabel saying, hey, Ryan Tannehill was looped in on the decision to promote Tim Kelly. He's been in the building every single day, but not coming out and saying explicitly that Ryan Tannehill is the quarterback of the future. It's an interesting one foot in, one foot out.
And also, you know, it's almost like you could interpret it. Maybe it's one and a half feet in, because he even follows up by saying, he's excited about where things are going.
Yeah. Like,
if you weren't excited about, if you're even weighing in on where things are going, that would mean that you're going.
You're part of the conversation. You're going
where they're going. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you wouldn't say that unless he misspoke, right? But that seems to me an indication that whatever ride you're on with the Titans, whatever ride we're on, Ryan Tannehill's on the ride with us, right? He's excited where we're going. Well, he must be. He's with us. Yeah. Wherever this thing's going.
One of us. Yeah. Yeah. One of us.
Listen, you're on that ride until you're not on that ride anymore.
That's a great. You ever seen that Bill Parcells clip? Mm-hmm. You know, he addresses the team like mm-hmm. that. He's like, "Hey, look, we're on this ride together. We love being on this ride. Mm-hmm. There's nowhere else we want to be, but we all know we're getting off the ride at some point.
Yeah.
But as long as we're on this ride together, we are all." And, you know, it's that speech.
Yeah, and that's, you know, whether he's committal to, like, fully committed to Ryan Tannehill or not, again, I think they're still in this evaluation phase of just the whole roster in general. They don't want to – listen, they have no reason other than to appease us all, to make us happy with saying, hey, Ryan is our quarterback this year and next year. He's our quarterback. He's under contract. He's our quarterback. He will be on his team.
But I think it's to make Tannehill happy, and not too.
They don't – sports don't care about your feelings. They don't it's just – and I don't care how great you are. I don't care how not great you are. When it boils down to it, sports don't care about your feelings. They care about your production. They don't care about your feelings. They love Tom Brady so much. Why? Because Tom is productive. Tom is the GOAT. If Tom was less than the GOAT, they wouldn't care about him so much, and they wouldn't worry about his feelings. Michael Jordan, LeBron James, Tiger Woods, Jerry Rice, Patrick Mahomes, you can name them all. If you're not great, I don't care about hurting your feelings or not.
I hear ya. But if the Titans do want to end up exercising some sort of leverage with mm-hmm. Ryan Tannehill and saying, hey, we're going to need you to restructure your contract a little bit because we need to push some of your money down the line mm-hmm. so we can re-sign Jeffrey Simmons and do whatever else you want to do, why would Ryan Tannehill do any favors for a team that's only been shopping him around or has done everything except pledge their commitment to him?
Because
if I'm him, I'm saying, nope, I'll take my money. Thank you.
Nope, because he knows there's only 32 of these jobs. And if I say, nope, I'm not restructuring, then the Titans are going to say, you know what? Thank you. Bye-bye. We can get somebody else. We may have to take a step back to take two or three forward. But if you don't want to help us, then there are a bunch of quarterbacks out there. And there are going to be at least two or three that are going to be free agents that could possibly help this team. Not win Super Bowls for them, but keep them in a position where they can win until they ultimately get their quarterback. So to me, again, if you're not great, then your leverage is only as strong as your season you just finished. I'm going to say that again. Your leverage is only as strong as the season you just finished. So if you are, say, an A.J. Brown, mm-hmm. you have 1,400 yards, you an all-pro touchdowns. I mean, you've been like one of the main reasons Philadelphia has been able to do what they've been able to do. Your leverage today is as strong as it's ever been.
Yeah.
Why? Because of what you've done. Now, if somebody go the next following season and they, you know, whether it's A.J. Brown or somebody else, I don't want to say A.J. Brown because I want him to continue to have great seasons, but just say player over here as a defensive back. If you one season have 8 and 9 interceptions, and then the next season you come back and you get burned 8 times and only have 1 interception, maybe 10 pass breakups, and you've been healthy the whole year, how do you think your leverage is after that season? It's not good. Mm-hmm. So your leverage is only as good as the season you just finished. Ryan Tannehill is sort of in the middle because he was hurt half of it. He didn't play bad, but he didn't play great either. He wasn't the reason why they lost games. So his leverage isn't as strong as he would probably want it to be. He can't say, I'm not working with you so I can go to another. No, because how many other teams are, one, going to give him the money that he's making right now as an aging quarterback? Not too many teams are going to do that.
But if I'm him and if the Titans, if he's saying, I don't want a pay cut, I'll go to Carolina. I'll go to New Orleans. I'll go to Vegas.
How you know those teams are going to take
you? I'll go to New York. If I'm New Orleans and my options are Jameis Winston or Ryan Tannehill, I'll probably take Ryan Tannehill. If I'm Carolina, my options are Sam Darnold, Ryan Tannehill, I'll probably take Ryan Tannehill. Yeah. If I'm Vegas and I can't get Aaron Rodgers and my options are, I don't even know, pick random quarterback free agent out there, Ryan Tannehill, I'd probably take Ryan
Tannehill.
But
what if I can take Sam Darnold, surround him? Because Sam Darnold has proven he's a good quarterback in his league. Is he great? No. He's a good quarterback in his league. What I can do is pay him much less than what Ryan's making, but surround him with a bunch of other people. And now I'm even probably even better with him than I would have been with Ryan Tannehill. So there's ways of working around all of this. Mm-hmm. So to me, I think if they came to Ryan, he would be more inclined to help because I think he likes the city. He likes the team. He likes Vrabel. He understand where they can possibly be going. So he would say, you know, listen, whatever I need to do, I do it. You know, whether we push money further down the line or not, I do it just to make this team better around me. I think he would do that. But I don't think the Titans are neither – I don't think they are trying to necessarily get another quarterback,
yeah.
But I don't think they are – I think they're still evaluating that position as well.
The door's open.
Yeah.
Let's get your thoughts on it. Phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Kevin has been waiting very patiently and is up next. What's up, Kevin?
Hey, guys. I wanted to weigh in on it. I think the Titans basically just have a timing issue because, with John Robinson being let go, none of us would have cared if it was the end of the season. Same thing with Kelly. If he would have got hired after the Green Bay game, none of us would have cared. It's just more of a timing thing. Also with this, I kind of feel like they're doubling down on saying the personnel was just bad because they really didn't hire anybody, you know, but the one guy. So that's what I think Vrabel's basically saying is just the team itself, you know, sucked as far as people goes. And as far as Vrabel not coming out and just naming Tannehill the quarterback, it's because he did that with A.J. Brown last year. You know, saying that he was going to be a wide receiver for the Titans, so he was done coaching there. And that bit him, you know, in the behind saying that. So he's just a lot more careful on what he's saying.
Yeah, thanks for your call, Kevin. That thought on A.J. Brown is I've seen it in the text line a few times. He said it bit him in the butt. Mm-hmm. How?
Well, because
what were the repercussions of him saying? What were the repercussions of him saying that?
Because everybody knew where he stood in regards to A.J. Brown. He felt A.J. Brown should have been or was a cornerstone of this franchise moving forward. And he made it be known that I want him here and whatever. Like, that was one – sort of like he is with Jeffrey Simmons. He was the same way with A.J. Brown. Hell, I made fun of him. I was like, man, he'd give up his master bedroom if A.J. Brown needed a place
he
to stay.
He'd
be like, man, hey, baby, we got to move to the other room. A.J. needs the master bedroom. But and the caller may be right. Like, he just don't want to get himself put in that position again and then possibly be let down either way, you know? So I can understand a little bit of that too, but he understands the business. Whether you love a person or not, you know, sometimes it, for whatever reason, it just doesn't fit. Mm-hmm. Or the player could be asking for a little bit more than what you're willing to pay.
Which was the AJ situation.
Exactly.
But this isn't something new with Vrabel. Go back to Shane Bowen. He absolutely, positively would not name Shane Bowen or at least publicly say Shane Bowen was the defensive play caller. So I don't think it was necessarily a lesson learned from AJ. I think that that's just Mike Vrabel keeping everything close to the chest just because he can. But to the caller's point, I mean, maybe he is a little scarred from the AJ situation. I don't know. Hal Gill will join us coming up next. Predators fall to the Golden Knights 5-1 last night. We'll get Hal Gill's thoughts on it, where the Predators go from here. It is Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, and hey, Preds fans, if you want to win tickets in our lower bowl section 102, just text the keyword Superbook, all in one word, to the game text line 615-737-1025, and you will be entered to win. Win with 1025-1063 the game, and you can win with Superbook 1025-1063 the game. Caroline, Willie, D-Maze, 1025-1063, the game. And hey, later today, tune into Stillman & Company live from Radio Row in Phoenix brought to you by Social Furniture on Charlotte Avenue in the Richland Creek Shopping Center. Pay no money down and no interest for 1 year right now during their tax refund sale. Hal Gill joins the show now. Hal, appreciate you joining us. That was a bad game for the Predators last night. Six shots through two periods, 17 shots, season low on the game as a whole. Lost to Vegas 5-1 last night. Where do the Preds go from here, Hal?
That is a tough question. Yeah, that was a bad one. That was
gross.
You know what? You know what? It's one thing to be rusty. It's just, you know, and I've been there. You take time off, and the first game you come back, you just want to keep it simple, and you just want to, like, get your feet wet, right? Get your feet moving, move the puck quick, don't make any risky plays. And I just feel like it snowballed on them, and it snowballed quick. You know, they had that first goal, beautiful goal from, you know, Josi to Duchene. You're like, okay, this is going to come around. The Preds are there, and then it just fell apart from there. So, you know, there's two ways to look at it. We're not the team we were. The other way to look at it, you know, before the break, don't forget, the three games, they look good. I felt like they were building on something. So you can say, okay, we're not that team. Or you can look at it as like, okay, that was a little blip, and we kind of forgot our identity. And personally, if I was on that team, I'd be ready to go. I practiced today, and I would double down on it, and I would make sure that I was ready to go in Philadelphia. And you have a couple days here to get your mind right and then go into Philadelphia, a team that you should be able to win that game, and you're desperate to win that game. And then after that, you come back, Arizona, you should win that game, and then you're right back into it. So as much as the initial panic of, oh, we're not that team, we're not the team we thought we were, I think there's a little bit of glimmer of hope that, okay, it was one blip and we can get it back, and then we can start to build the way we were.
And I don't think that six shot through two periods is what this team is. And we've seen it right before the break. Those three games, offense looked better. You were getting production from your top scorers. But I look at it like it's almost like a trend, like a cycle with this team all season long, where you have a clunker like you had in St. Louis a few weeks ago. You come back, you look good, you win a few games, and then it's another clunker. And you win a couple, you lose a couple, you win a couple, you lose a couple, you win a couple. It's almost like a constant cycle with this team. And I don't know if you can make the playoffs from where this team, the outlook of where it is right now, if that cycle continues. And David Poile has shown that's a priority of his, is making the playoffs.
Yeah, well, I agree with you, but I disagree with the context that you're putting it in, because if you look at their last 20 games or so, they're a winning team, and by a large margin. And there's some clunkers in there, like that's going to happen. I always said when I was playing, if you don't lose two games in a row ever, things are going to work out. You know, like, and the Preds have been that team for the last 20 games, I guess, where they're, you know, they'll win two, lose one, win three, lose one. You know, like, that's kind of been their rhythm, and you can look at it as clunkers, but in the end, if they're a winning record after 10 games, you know, and we always broke it down to five game segments, and if you win three and lose two, that's a winning record, and you're building on something. If you win four, then you're really building on something. And it's a fine line, right? I mean, it's one hiccup in those games, and it changes around. So I think the Preds were building on something, and they have something there. It's just a matter of finding that consistency. So, yeah, there's some shock and awe after losing that game because that was ugly, but you know, like I said, those practice days, you get back to it, and then you win, you know, you win in Philly, you win against Arizona, and now you're 2-1 after the break, and it's a quick turnaround.
Hal Gill is with us. And Hal, you've been in many locker rooms at different teams, handled it different ways, but what did you find was the best tonic when everybody arrives for that next practice, whether it's the next day or after a day off or whatever, when you have a clunker like that, who sets the tone? Who sets the tone, and how does it go? Is it lighthearted? Is it, you know, all business or somewhere in between? How do you work it?
It's funny because every team has their own feel. You know that, Willie. Every team has their own feel and their, you know, what makes them tick. I've been on teams. My first year in the league, I was with Pat Burns, and if we lost the game, there was no music in the locker room. There was no smiling in the locker room. It was the next day was miserable, and you went out to work, and you didn't smile until you got the win the next game. Like, that was – it was doom and gloom, and you worked. And there'd be fights in practice because losing was unacceptable. The game's changed, obviously, since then. Thank God, because it was stressful. And now, I had – Dan Bylsma was my coach. We got – in Pittsburgh, we got beat up pretty good. And we're all doom and gloom the next day, ready to get beat up. And he ran through the room and full skates on, ready to go out on the ice, like 15 minutes before practice. And I remember him yelling, "Free ice, boys! We got free ice!" And, you know, if you're a kid that grew up playing hockey and there was no one on the ice before you, you were excited to get on the ice. You know, like, we got a chance, like, free ice. You know, you only have your hour time slot, but we got an extra 15 minutes of free ice before, so let's go out there and play. And so that was the spectrum. You have to find out what makes your team tick. If you can get out on the ice early and feel good about it, and, hey, we're going to go work on things, but we're going to have fun doing it, I think that's the right mix. That, hey, everyone took a beating last night. Like, we get a chance to turn it around by working hard in practice and getting out there early and staying out there late and having fun getting better and working at it together. So I think, you know, the leadership, Roman Josi is like, when's the last time you saw Roman Josi have a couple plays like that? That doesn't happen.
Yeah.
It was flukish stuff. And so I'm sure he's going to be the first guy. I know Jost, he's going to be the first guy out there. Like, that's not acceptable. I'm not going to hold my head down. I'm going to go out and work, and we're going to work and practice. We're going to work together, and we're going to figure this out.
You hear coaches a lot of times, and I hear John Hines say this a lot, puck decisions. So tell us what that entails for you. There's all kinds of examples that happen on the ice, but these decisions are made in a fraction of a second. But the teams that make too many, there's mistakes all over the ice, but the team that makes the fewest often is the one that wins. But when you hear puck decisions, what comes to mind? Because that was obviously a problem with a lot of other things last night.
Yeah, I think, you know, and I go back to the first game after break, your puck decisions have to be solid. You know, you got to move the puck quick. You got to move it hard. There's no room early in a game after you've been off for 11 days, there's no room for, hey, I'm going to try to throw a little backhand sauce and try to hit this guy up the middle. And, you know, like, you want to be focused on the details. And I think that goes into puck decisions. Like, there's too many times where they, you know, they just lackadaisical plays, you know, you got to get rid of those. Until you get your rhythm, eventually you get your feet under you and you get going, and then you just get into a routine where you just bang, 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 and you're breaking it out. But until you get to that rhythm, you have to make sound decisions, and a lot of times that's, you know, playing on the defensive side. You know, I think the Preds, in that first period, you know, they put themselves in the position where they could give counters back, and Vegas is a good counter team, and I give them a lot of credit because every chance they got, they turned it right back. If the Preds turned it over, they were coming back hard. And that's the way they play. And so I think looking at it as a Preds point of view, eliminate those chances. Get the puck, move it. Not necessarily make the safe plays, but make the right plays hard. And I think that's puck management and making sure that you're protecting the puck and playing underneath it. You know, you don't let anyone behind you. All this, the simple basic rules. Terry Crisp could tell you all about it. Head on a swivel,
big time.
Make sure you're right. I mean,
the just, Crispyisms. So
yes, it's all the basics. and you know what? Like, we always laugh about it, but that's how you win. You win when times are hard. When times are great, players are great. They make plays. We let them go out and make plays. But when times are hard, you got to go back to the details. And I think that's what they missed out on a little bit in that first period.
Hal Gill, we appreciate you for joining us. We'll chat with you next
week. Thank you for having me, guys.
Always a pleasure, Hal. Appreciate you. Coming up next, we know that the Titans have elevated Tim Kelly from passing game coordinator to offensive coordinator, but there were other moves as well. What does that mean for this team? And what does it mean for those individual coaches also? I think it's a little bit confusing. We'll try and rationalize coming up next. It's Caroline Willie, D-Mace 1025, 1063 The Game.
My question is in regards to the collaboration side of things. Like, how do you see everything working as far as Charles London as past game coordinator with Pat O'Hara in his role?
You know, we have to work through those types of things. I think that, you know, the one thing that I really appreciated from where Charles has been is having been with Tim and then gone and done some stuff on his own and bringing some of the what he's learned from Chicago, his time in Chicago, which what was valuable, his work in Atlanta, which is valuable. And so, you know, his number one priority is going to be, you know, coaching the quarterbacks. And then the pass game coordinator, you know, I think that that's an assist role, and that's, you know, providing ideas and support and, you know, helping Tim and everybody involved work through the weekly game plan.
There you go. That was Mike Vrabel on the collaboration with the offensive staff. And that's been the theme, the key word of the offseason is collaboration. That's what they're going to have to do, because the Titans have brought in a ton of new faces and have created new roles on the offensive staff. Of course, we know that Tim Kelly was elevated from passing game coordinator to offensive coordinator. So who is filling that spot? Charles London comes to the Titans from Atlanta. He will be the passing game coordinator and quarterbacks coach. He knew Mike Vrabel with their stints together in Houston. Mm-hmm. They interviewed Charles London for the offensive coordinator position. He's coming in as the passing game coordinator and the quarterbacks coach. That moves Pat O'Hara, who was formerly the quarterbacks coach. He's now the passing game analyst. There's a whole lot more shuffling going on the offensive coaching staff. Tony Dews moves from running backs coach to tight ends coach. Luke Steckel moves from tight ends coach to run game analyst. And all of these analysts, like passing game analyst, run game analyst, I don't know what any of that means. And I think that the title is different for probably every single mm-hmm. team across the country. And the title might just be just that, just a title. And they're in the room in some sort of capacity. But I wondered, when I first saw this, when I saw this announcement come down about the Titans changes and Tim Kelly being promoted to offensive coordinator, I wondered, are these promotions? Mm. Are these demotions? Are these, hey, you weren't great. We evaluated you in the job that you did and the job that you formerly had, and we don't think that you were fit or suit for that position, so we're going to move you somewhere else. And Bob Shoup was on Stillman & Company yesterday, gave his thoughts on the moves and the titles. If we had that Bob Shoup from yesterday on Stillman & Company.
I think it's a good hire. By all accounts, Tim Kelly is a good coach. He's done a great job. There's familiarity. And the hiring of Charles London as well is someone that's worked with Tim Kelly, has worked with Coach Vrabel. I'm excited about that. You know, the promotions, everybody got a little bit of a promotion there. The assistant O-line coach to O-line, Steckel, who you've talked about at length. You know, gets a little bit of a promotion there too. So Pat O'Hara gets the pass game analyst deal, and Dews becomes the tight end coach. It'll be interesting to see where they go with the running back hire.
So Bob Shoup's calling them promotions.
I don't know. Honestly, I don't know whether it's a promotion, demotion, or not. I don't know what it is. So I would tend to think that pass game coordinator is different from pass game pass analysts. Run game coordinator is different from run analysts. I think I'm only assuming here.
There's pass game coordinator and yeah. passing game analyst.
So, but both of them have to do with the pass game. I'm only assuming. So. Yeah, I'm only assuming here. Knows? Yeah,
you just assume.
Yeah, it's just now.
What about
much?
The lateral game? Does exactly. the lateral game have a coordinator?
Exactly.
Lateral game only for laterals.
I mean, there's so many like
screen game
specific things that they try to specify. Like, you are just in charge of this. You're just in charge of this. So do the pass game coordinator, pass game analyst get together and they talk and then they come up with a, or is it just, I'm just going to assume this. Pass game coordinator is, you know, day to day, week to week, packages, help you put together packages, breaking down things and what works against this defense, what doesn't work against this defense. Analyst is more so of the analytics, you know, the numbers.
Yeah.
You get in there, what does the numbers tells us if we run this play on this on X down, or what defense are they playing on this down, and would this play work? The percentages of this play working against this defense on this particular down. I'm sure that's what analyst is. So I don't know whether that's a promotion or demotion, but it seemed like a whole lot of work you got to do.
Yeah. And
so I hope they are paying you more.
And that's one thing sometimes when you look out at a football practice, right? You see all these people.
Yeah.
Right. In the, thank God they don't wear the polyester bike coaches shorts like they did in the 80s when my coaches. Oh. Those weren't really flattering for a lot of those guys.
No.
But you see the guys in the coaching outfits. Like, what do all these guys do? Right? There's a lot of guys. But so it's important that they all work together. Mm-hmm. They all know what their focus is. Because when you're just an observer, you don't know who's focusing on what necessarily. But they all have their job. I do think that analytics is probably going to take a little bit bigger role in this whole picture, not just for the passing game, but the entire team, which probably is a good thing. It's more modern. It's more what everybody else in all other sports have been doing for a while. So I think you should be getting into that game. I think the important thing is the analysts, if it's analytics and it's the scheme coming together, how are those guys working together? And how do they take all of what they're working on? And the most important thing is that your team, your players absorb, because you can't hit them with too much information. Mm-hmm. You can't hit them with things on two different fronts where the player gets confused, right? And then you get on the field and you're thinking too much, right? It all has to sort of mesh together. That's the important thing. No matter how many guys and who's in what role and who's getting promoted or not, it's got to be efficient and it's got to be well taught to where the players get the message.
Yeah, listen, they pretty much said it. Rand Carthon said it, and Mike Vrabel said it in the presser when Rand was hired. It's like, listen, this is a collaboration, but we're going to have, you know, specific people tasked to do specific things. You know, like, again, you are in charge of the analytics, or you are the analyst for the passing game. That's what you do. You need to, you and you alone, maybe one other person, y'all need to take care of that stuff. Mm-hmm. You are the analyst or you are the pass game coordinator for the, you need to handle that amongst whoever else you're, it's in your circle. So, but I'm trusting, but we're all in this together. We're all going to collaborate. Once you do your job, now we're going to collaborate together and see what works for what works for the team, what's best for the team. You got your analytics together, Willie, Caroline. You got, you know, the game plan or the passing game
you
plan.
You scouted
now,
the opposition.
Exactly.
Here's what
now,
the opposition
now, both of y'all
does.
Get together and figure out. This is a collaboration. Now, both of y'all get together, figure out what needs to happen. Now the offensive coordinator comes in, and we all put it together to have a game plan. Mm.
And having a new analytics role or new analytic responsibilities, I would align with the new hire of Chad Brinker. If it's the, you know, the Cleveland-like model, if that means bringing analytics more into the game, that you want to, you know, make that kind of a part of the fabric of the team, that would make sense that you bring in analysts. But I just wonder, you know, why the shuffle? Is it shuffle just to shuffle? Is it moving guys off of coaching positions and moving them to analyst positions?
Well, I think you want a better result. I think it's really what it is. It was not a great offense last year, so they got to do things differently for sure. And I just have to say, I'm feeling old because Luke Steckel, every time I hear Luke Steckel, I was like, I watched that guy play in high school. He played for Brentwood High School. I've been around this town a long time. I remember those days.
Just
for sure.
Well seasoned, really. Before we head out, Stillman & Company is on Radio Row in Phoenix. D-Mace wants to tell you about Cool Springs MD.
Yes, I do. And as we end this show, all men listeners, I need to tell you something about Cool Springs. Over the years, more men have started to seek help for hormone deficiencies and imbalances. And Dr. Jeffrey Lodge and his wife Daphne, along with that experienced staff, give men the treatment required to improve their quality of life. Cool Springs MD services have already helped many men of Brentwood, Nashville, and the surrounding areas in Tennessee with improving their immune systems, energy levels, cognitive functions, and more. They are there to connect you with the medical care you require to have a healthy and enriched life. There's no better time now to achieve a healthy lifestyle. So, man, what are you waiting on? And give Dr. Jeffrey Lodge and Cool Springs MD a call today for an appointment. Here's the number, 615-486-3458. That's 615-486-3458. Or visit our website at coolspringsmd.com. Peace.